This land is your land. This land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you.
Welcome back to the People Speak Radio with Cindy Sheehan, and also from Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. I'd like to welcome you back to the show. I haven't been on for a few weeks. I was on a long put off vacation, resting up, getting some of my energy back after taking care of my sister for 2 years. And after she passed away, I needed to get away for a little bit. And I'm very excited about our guest tonight. But before I introduce our guest, I'd like to remind you that you can call in with questions or comments, 888-429-5471. If you're listening online right now, you know that you're listening to BBS Radio and The People Speak with me, Cindy Sheehan, is every Tuesday night, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and everything in between. I would like, if you want to have a comment or ask a question, that you wait maybe until after the bottom of the hour, because give our guest chance to talk about about his subject for a while. And I'm going to welcome, tonight we're welcoming Marcus Ruiz Evans. Marcus is co-founder of #CalExit, and it's an organizing group for Yes California, a ballot initiative that we're hoping is going to be on the 2019 ballot here in California to leave the United Snakes of America. So, Marcus, welcome to The People Speak with Cindy Sheehan.
Cindy, thank you for having me on. I got to say, I know who you are. You know, I watched you years ago, and actually be talking to you, another great Californian, because I recognized that, hey, nobody else from America went out there and did that. And, oh, who did that? Somebody from California. Coincidence? And now here we are talking. It's full circle. Full circle.
Right. Well, I'm going to give my opinion about the initiative, but I think as we go through the show, people will understand that I'm very pro #CalExit. But you have quite a long biography, and instead of me just reading it, why don't you tell my listeners a little bit about yourself?
Okay. I started the CalExit movement. People had been talking about California becoming a nation for years. You can go back to 1850.
We don't want to talk about that yet. I want to talk about you. Like, tell us about you, and then we'll talk about CalExit.
Born in Fresno, raised in Fresno, grew up in the Central Valley. I believe in some Central Valley values. Studied at the University of Southern California on scholarship. Lived in L.A. for about 6 years. Then I moved up to the Bay, lived there for 4 years. Lived in Sacramento for 4 years. Moved back to Fresno. Studied infrastructure. Studied federal government financing, and I learned from other people who work in government that we don't get our fair share. And around 2006, I had the idea that California's a different culture, because I saw so many people in California protesting the Iraq War, and then I didn't see many Americans did it. So I filed my first copyright for Nodes in 2006, a second copyright in 2009. Published my book, California's Next Century, in 2012. I was reviewed by columnist Tom Elias in the news, and that was the first time anybody ever talked about California being a nation seriously. I met Louis Marinelli around 2013, 2014, We started by opposing Tim Draper's plan to split California up.
Right.
We got in the news as a group opposing that. There was me and him, and then some group of ex-consultants and lobbyists with a couple hundred thousand dollars to their name. And it was just me and this other guy saying, California's a nation. Let's stay that way. And we got as much news coverage as these professional ex-lobbyists with hundreds of thousands of dollars. So we said, well, it's not that we're so great at this. It's that people are really buying this topic of California as a nation. So I was the first one to talk about it seriously, get in the news, form Yes California, which is now the largest organization for CalExit. I've born here, raised here, lived everywhere around here. And I'm half Mexican. I'm a part Choctaw Comanche. So I look Caucasian, but I'm actually less than 50% Caucasian. I speak a little bit of Spanish, but I find Asian languages more fascinating than Spanish, although I'm proud to be Mexican. And I'm generally fiscally conservative and hella socially liberal.
Okay. Hella, that's such a California word. when we achieve independence, we should put that on our flag or our motto.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
just, we're hella cool.
We're hell of a nation now. Yeah.
Hold on. I'm sorry, Marcus. I have like an emergency here at my house. Can you just talk about the 9 reasons why you want to leave California, and hopefully I'll be right back.
Sure.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'll be right back.
Sure. There are many reasons why California needs to leave America. Number one is obviously with the election of Donald Trump, California clearly has separate values than what America wants. We were saying years ago that California and America do not have the same values, and we're very different cultures. And people thought that we were being extreme. Well, America just elected Donald Trump. And you pull out the California population, he did win a popular vote. That means the majority of Americans said that sexism and racism and everything he stands for is okay with them. Well, those are anathema to everything we stand for. In fact, the one place that Donald Trump went on campaign and where they literally shut down the entire grid so that he couldn't get there was in California. I mean,
I'm back, Marcus. I'm so sorry. Thank you so much. So where were you? What were you talking about when I rejoined the show?
California and America have different values, and that's evident by the election of Donald Trump through popular selection.
So you were on the point where the elections and government reason to leave California?
Yeah, I literally just started with reason one. We're a different culture. Donald Trump proves that. When you pull out California, a majority of Americans did select him. And you can see that, you know, people may be upset, but not like here in California. We're having riots because he was elected. This was the only place where when he was campaigning, they stopped an entire network of transportation, and he had to walk to his event. The reaction to Trump is nowhere near as hardcore as here in California. America selected him by popular choice when you pull out California. And that's the point, is that Californians don't have the same values as Americans. And Trump is an example of that. Although we're not protesting Trump, what we're saying is, what kind of people would even elect him?
Well, and in fact, like you pointed out, this initiative started the germination for this initiative started long before he was elected, correct?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So in let's see, when's the last time we had a presidential election? I mean, a gubernatorial election here in California. Was that 2015?
I don't have notes in front of me. I think it was 14. I think the next one's in 18.
Okay, so why is initiative? Because I ran for governor, I should remember that for the Peace and Freedom Party. But why is initiative till 2019? Is it a special election?
So the CalEx initiative has two stages. The first stage, which is voted on in 2018, is to remove the part of the California Constitution added in the 1970s that says California is part of America and that it can't ever leave. So we wanted to strike that down, which doesn't really have any big legal impact, but it does remove the part of California's law that says it always has to be part of America. Once California's approved that, then the next year we say, well, do you want to secede? So you're legally not bound to America. Then we ask the question, do you want to go? And the reason was is that if we ask the question first, do you want to secede? We were just, you know, critics would just pound us with, well, the Constitution says you can't in California anyways. So right. It was a way of getting the initiative to be taken seriously because people think we're dumb. I mean, they think we are just slack-jawed and stupid and insane. And so the only way that we're able to beat down that image is by showing real legal understanding. That forces the critics to go, well, if they figure this out, then they know what they're talking about.
Well, and then a lot of times, too, is that initiatives like this are seen to be, coming from the far right. And, you know, if we or you can join forces with people on the right to pass this initiative, that's great. But I'm trying to impart to people that I don't know if you've identified yourself as far right, far left, centrist or whatever, but on your website, Yes California, I think it's 9 reasons you have for leaving California, seem to be very, socialist in nature, as a matter of fact. And it looks a lot like, a lot of the points look a lot like the platform for the Peace and Freedom Party, which is a socialist party here in California. And so the first one that I really want to talk about, because I think that it's probably the most important one that you have on your website, is peace and security. And talk about that from your point of view, the initiative's point of view.
So I don't have the website in front of me, so I'm not going to be able to comment exactly on what's on the website.
It's fine. People can go to the website at Yes California and they can read exactly what's there. I just want to get your, says the U.S. government spends more on its military than the next several countries combined. And so California is forced to subsidize the massive military budget with our taxes, but we're sent off to fight in these wars. And my son was one of those people who was killed in America's Iraq. Illegal and immoral war in Iraq. But also, Marcus, California also has a huge military industrial complex. So talk a little bit about that.
So when we talk about how California values are different from American values and we're a separate culture, the reason that I wrote the book is because of the Iraq War.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting at home in the Bay Area and I was watching TV and they said, well, going to war in Iraq. And they'd been debating this back and forth. And then they go, well, that's because we did a poll. And scientific poll from this TV station, major cable, and it said 70% of Americans support going into Iraq. And I thought, oh, wow, okay.
Right.
And then 5 minutes later, that same station, or the next channel, not another major network station, new poll. Californians are opposed to the Iraq war, 70%.
Uh-huh.
So hold on now.
What?
70% of Californians are against it and 70% of the rest of the country is for it. You can't get more opposite than that. And that just proved it to me. Two of the million people protests against the Iraq war were in California alone. The other one was in New York. California was the only place that had like every city issue resolutions against it. So you look at how California's reacted to the Iraq War. It was completely against it, opposite from the way most America did, and including liberal places like New York that was kind of halfway for it. So who sent the most women and men to Iraq?
California.
And had the most, yeah. I mean, who had their young people get maimed or something more serious of anybody in America? Well, it was California. Beyond Texas. And I go, hold on now. We're the most against the war and we get punished the most? I mean, I'm in Fresno. Okay, we had the highest KIA for the Iraq War of a high school in all of America was here in Fresno County, Clove, Buchanan High. So I see the vets here. We have these 30-year-old boys walking around. They're just staring off in space because they're not over PTSD, so the only thing they can do is drug them up.
Right.
So who deals with the ramifications of that war, the cracked people that come back? Oh, you're physically alive, yeah, but your brain never came back. Well, that's California. And who has the most amount of death and maimings? Well, it's California. And who puts the most in towards the military-industrial complex? Well, it's California. So we're the most against this, and we put our young people, and we deal with the repercussions most, and we spend the most on this, and for something that we would never agree with. And then when it goes bad, who has the most of the refugees dumped on them? Now, California is diverse, and we love all these people.
Right.
But we have a huge Iranian population, a huge Vietnamese population. That's because of America's colonial wars didn't work out. And they go, well, geez, where do we put these people who America said was never going to abandon them? With Americans? No, let's dump them off in California and let California deal with the burdens of educating them and bringing them up to speed. Just like we'll let them deal with all of these young people who are frankly going to have to be taken care of for the rest of their life. It's a colony. It's a freaking colony. If you look at empires and how they treated places that they conquered that they didn't actually think of as their people, this is what they did. You pull tribute out and young soldiers, fight your wars, and then you drop them off when you're done because you're not really worried. It's about winning that war, and you externalize all the costs. So if California is a nation, we don't have to do that anymore. And until we're separate, we're going to have the most number of KIA in the next war guaranteed and spend them more than anybody else.
And when I was running for governor against Jerry Brown in 2014, one of my campaign points was that he's trying to fix the budget off the backs of poor people all the time. And the at that time, Californians were sending about $26 billion a year to the federal government or to America. I like the how you phrase that, to America to pay for these wars that we actually oppose.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's about $30 billion now.
$30 billion now. And the other day, I was with some people in San Francisco at a meeting, and I gave CalExit, they're all Californians, so I gave CalExit I promoted it, and I said, I don't want to live in America anymore, but I don't want to move because I love California and I love living near my family. I love the potential of California, but I also love my memories of California, a state that had free education for everybody through a university, a state that took care of its people and took care of its infrastructure, because I was born in the late 50s. So I remember a state that was far better than the state we have now. And ironically, Jerry Brown's dad was governor. And
yep.
After Trump started bombing Syria, and of course, it's not Trump didn't start that war, but I guess it was Thursday or whatever, I was just like, I'm done. I'm done living in the United States. I don't want to live in this place anymore. But coincidentally, I don't want to move. And so Cal Exit kind of solves that problem for me. And it's not because I'm selfish. I mean, my work since my son's been killed is to make the world a better place. And I think California leaving America is not only good for California, but it's good for the rest of the world, because we take so much when we leave, and anything that diminishes the empire to me is a positive thing.
That's true. And some people have said, well, aren't you abandoning America? And I want to address that. So let me tell a personal story real quick.
Sure.
Probably I shouldn't, but I'm going to do it anyways, because it gets the point across. You know, my parents were divorced early, and I was living with my dad, and he was ex-military. They do something to people. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying every
Absolutely.
Vet, but a lot of people come back and they're hurt.
Was your dad a Vietnam veteran or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. And they don't get what they need.
Right.
And I'm not blaming him, but he was verbally tough, I'll say, since we're on the radio. And, you know, I was the oldest. So he just acted the way he felt, like a drill instructor all the time. And then one day I had it and I left. Guess who changed the way he talked to his children the moment his eldest son left? Guess who was terrified of losing another child? Guess who shaped up? He wasn't listening to nobody before.
Right.
But when I left, it was like, oh my God, I really can be impacted. I better stop doing these things that people have been saying are bad, and I better start treating my children better. And so if you want America to be changed, some people say work within a system. Let me offer a different position. You want America to change, you leave. That is the only way they're going to get it. The shock of California leaving. I'm not even talking about resources. I'm talking about the mental picture.
Right.
We screwed people so hard and didn't provide for them and used them so hard that they just left. Maybe we shouldn't do that anymore. And I got to tell you, I don't think they're going to get the message any other way. So if you actually want America to get better, then California leaving, besides the resource issue that you talked about, is your only option.
Well, and we're not the only, California's not the only state. I don't know how far any others have gotten initiative-wise, but, you know, California's not the only state that's talking about that. But it's like, I don't think we're abandoning America. I think America abandoned us a long time ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like you said, it's a, you know, it's an abusive relationship, and I know for sure I don't want to take it anymore. So I think we have a few more minutes before the break, and let's go on to the next point that you have: elections and government. As you say, California's electoral votes haven't affected a presidential election since 1876.
Yeah.
It's almost like we're extraneous to the process. Democrats only come here to raise money, and Republicans rarely come here because they know it's like a lost cause to them. So we don't really, you know, California is not really affected by the process, but then we don't affect it either.
Right. And they take all our money. So I'm not going to spend any time with you or address your issues. And I'm generally going to ignore you, but I'll take all your money.
Right.
Wow. Great. This works for us. And hey, I get it, you know, but the fact is that Clinton and Obama did that. I think Obama took 1/3 of his campaign chest from here, spent barely any time here, did no campaign stops here. I remember when he came here to the Central Valley in the middle of a drought, didn't stop to meet any of the undocumented workers, didn't stop to meet people in the valley who were the most hurt, worst part of the recession, highest amount of impact from the drought. He flew in, drove to Cesar Chavez's house, took a photo with his wife, and then flew back to D.C., and then took 1/3 of our money to run his campaign. And then Clinton took about 1/4 of her campaign chest and only made, I believe, 2 or 3 stops. And it was only because she was worried about Bernie Sanders. She didn't actually want to spend any time here. Media that was supportive of her said, oh man, that Sanders, he's really holding Clinton back. She actually had to do two stops in California.
Oh my gosh.
Spend time here, but take a fourth of her money. And then, like you said, you get to be a Republican. They don't spend any time or care about us. Schwarzenegger, when he was governor, found that out when he found out George W. Bush wasn't going to give him any resources because he didn't like California. I think Dick Cheney called us all Marin County hot tubbers. We lose and then we lose. You pick this person, we lose. You pick this person, we get nothing.
Well,
been away for a century.
This might be putting the horse before the cart, or the cart before the horse, I guess. If California becomes its, own nation, a sovereign nation, again, what form of government do you envision, or is that past the scope of this initiative?
It's past the scope. The reason is that it's really tough to get everybody to agree to the big idea of you should be a nation. So when we start going, and we're going to do this and we're going to do that, then you get back into normal politics and people get polarized very quickly. So if we said everybody gets a free dog, some people would hate us for saying that and other people would love us. Uh-huh. We'd have people who were outright hate. You pick anything. It just goes that way. So we've already picked a big mouthful by going after independence. We try to keep it to that. But the short answer is that Californians are going to pick whatever they want to do. So if they say we want to secede and we also want free cats to have fancy collars, then that's what they're going to do. It's going to be up to the voters. I will say this. You know who we are. People go, what's the future California going to be like? Well, it's not going to turn on climate change and LGBTQ rights. You kind of already get the direction we're going in. So more of that. Although I will say that the business climate will get remarkably better. But on any social issue, it's very clear how we're going to go.
Right. So, it's time for a break. So this is Cindy Sheehan with the People Speak Radio. We're speaking with Marcus Ruiz Evans about Cal Exit. So stay tuned for this short break and we'll be right back. And remember, you can call in if you want to have any questions or comments for Marcus or myself at 888-429-5471. It's a toll-free number. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
You're listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
With over 150 million registered users, PalTalk is the largest video chat community in the world, with over 300 PalTalk support staff speaking dozens of languages to help you enjoy your online experience. Meet new people across town or country or continent while chatting about your interests. Sing live karaoke, listen to music, join a lively political debate, or play group trivia in one of thousands of chat rooms in various categories from your PC, mobile, or tablet device. Joining PalTalk is free and easy. Go to paltalk.com and become part of our friendly community today.
Hi, this is Cindy Sheehan. I've been a peace activist since 2004 when my son Casey was killed in Iraq. I've learned since then that achieving peace means more than just being anti-war. It encompasses being pro-environment and pro-equality for all people of all genders, religion, and ethnicities. Please join me at cindysheehansoapbox.blogspot.com with many other people who believe in working for a more peaceful and humane future.
Hi, I'm Richard Belzer. This is the great BBS Radio.
This land
as yours.
Join us on The People Speak for an hour of live interviews and audience interaction as guests of various organizations share their work and strategies which impact our world and make a difference. That's The People Speak every Tuesday, 6 to 7 p.m. Pacific, 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern on the BBS Radio Network.
This land was made for you and me.
Welcome back to the People Speak Radio with Cindy Sheehan on BBS Radio. I'd like to remind you that we're speaking with Marcus Ruiz Evans about hashtag Cal Exit. Marcus, welcome back.
Oh, thanks. Thanks.
Let's go to, we have about 25 or so more minutes left, left on, you know, with this interview. And there's 9 points in Yes, California. Can you tell people, it's basically Yes, California, but the website, yescalifornia.org.com,
yeah.
Or just Google
yescalifornia.org.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you go to yescalifornia.org, you can print off the petition and collect signatures in seconds. You don't need us. You don't need to call anybody. Petition's there for you to print off. You can sign it, fill it out, email the link to other people. Additionally, the Cal Exit book and a scene on Rachel Maddow's show where she endorsed people reading it a few months ago is also available for download to everybody there. We also have a blog spot. And please like us on Facebook. We are now larger than the California Democratic Party on Facebook.
Yay! So, how many signatures where are you in the process before we get into the meat and potatoes of it? I know collecting signatures to get on ballots in California is very hard, very restrictive. Tell us about a little bit about that process, where you are at right now.
So there's 82 chapters representing about 82 cities around California,
mm-hmm.
and we're constantly growing, which is great, but it also presents a problem. Because we provide the petition online, and you don't have to work with us if you don't want to get the petition going, some people choose to coordinate with us, some people choose to tell us what they're doing, some people just get signatures and hold on. Some people mail them to the mail-in boxes. We have three. Okay. Some people send it to county registrar. So I don't know what the total number is, because as soon as I get one, I have to go back through and contact people, and we have new chapters coming up.
Uh-huh.
It's a lot, and we're at 82 chapters, but I don't have a number.
And how many do you need to get on the ballot?
585,000 signatures by okay. July.
Wow. By this July?
Yeah.
Okay. Holy Christ, we got to get going then. So I've collected signatures. They don't make democracy easy, that's for sure. So let's go to the other points. What about trade and regulation? How would California becoming its own nation change trade and regulation of trade for us?
There's a book that made me write my book, or got me going, think I could do this, and where the author didn't say secession, but he hinted. It's called, his name is Abraham Lowenthal. He's a professor at Long Beach University, which is one of the best trade universities in the world. And now he's at the Conservative University of Southern California. He wrote the book Global California, Rising to the Cosmopolitan Era. And what he said was that California is internationally linked. So, I don't know, 25, 40% of the California economy is dependent on trade directly, indirectly. Whereas the average American state, it's about 10%. Fareed Zakaria said something like that. So the problem is that we're saying, hey, we need to trade berries to this Asian country. And then we have to get permission from the federal government in D.C. to do that. And they say, hold on, I need to have another war or get upset about gay people kissing in public or something that's on Fox News, either for it or against it. And we're saying berries to an Asian country ready to go. Professor Lowenthal described California as being seen as exotic by the DC government. In fact, the only reason that America's part of NAFTA and the World Trade Organization and the Free Trade Agreement of the Americas is because California legislators told them to do it. And that goes back to the early 30s. We have been pushing trade, but we still have to have somebody who isn't internationally connected, doesn't understand the foreign world, doesn't have people from those countries, has never traveled abroad, give us permission, and usually takes 5 to 10 years. Republican Governor Schwarzenegger criticized Republican American President George W. Bush for stalling our trade deals for 5 years, and then he criticized American President of the Democrats, Obama, for doing the same thing. So Republican, Democrat, it doesn't matter. Our trade deals are held up 5 to 10 years. That's disastrous for business. We could be making billions more if we weren't. The other part of it is that, and additionally, we're the ones that understand international trade and taught the federal government everything it knows. So it's not like we don't know what we're doing. Additionally, Silicon Valley is the primary driver of part of the California economy. Countries will not buy tech products from California because we're associated with America. President of America Obama decided that it was a good idea to spy on world leaders. That upset most of the planet. And so they don't want to buy smartphones or computers from California because they don't trust America. So we lose about $6 billion a year in Silicon Valley products. If we were independent, we could sell to everybody quickly and we'd have endless customers. Right now, there's customers who will not buy our stuff, and then there's customers who are told to wait 5 to 10 years. That's a disaster.
Right. So let's go to something that's complementary to what you were just talking about. Your next point is about debt and taxes. And you talk about California being a donor state. Can you expand on that?
So since for about the last 30 years, California has put more into the federal government than it ever gets back. Some people are saying that it gets more out. That's a lie. The news is at least admitting that California has been contributing more than it gets. So you were talking at the beginning about how you remember California back in the day and how it provided for people. Well, the Golden State era ended a few years before California started making payments to the federal government and not getting its full return back. Coincidence that when we can't pay for free universities and roads and schools, they start falling, and we're giving up $16 to $60 billion in extra revenue. So everything's great. We can take care of ourselves. And then a few years after, we start paying more out for 35 states than we get, everything starts crumbling. Coincidence or the cause of it? And they go, California has high taxes. Well, why do we have high taxes? Because we can't pay for our schools and we can't fix our roads. Well, why is that? Because we pay for 35 states to have better schools and roads than us, because we put more in. Now, there's some debates on it. We're going with the figure of $16 to $32 billion a year in loss. I would put it at closer to $100 billion. The reason is that the recession in 2008, what the federal government did was they said, we're going to print fake money.
Right.
And shove it into your mouth, and you don't get a choice. So you give us real money, and then we're going to give you four times the amount, but it's fake money. We can say it's real money.
Funny money.
So the numbers, it's funny money. So the numbers have gotten fluctuated. So they're able to say, oh, the federal government put more into California than it ever got of fake money. Real money, we still sent out every year. And so the numbers shrunk when you add 2009 to 2014 and qualitative easing, which was inflationary spending as the way of getting out of the global recession. So that period of 2009 to 2014 really screwed up the numbers. I think what California loses when you look at it on average is $60 billion or more. A conservative estimate is around $16 to $30 billion. It's still a life-changing money.
Well, and the pitiful thing is that, like you said, there's so many problems here in the state. Education is crappy. Our infrastructure is falling apart. The environmental issues, and these are all things that could, and so many things could be fixed if we weren't, like you said, fixing roads and schools in other states. Homeless, the million homeless people in California with millions of empty housing units. So many things could be fixed if we could keep our resources here in our sovereign state of California. So talk about how immigration would change if we were, if California was its own nation.
So who has the most undocumented immigrants? California. But who has the power over visas and immigration and controls the border? The federal government. And I was on Fox News and they were saying, you let everybody in. No, the federal government controls the border. We don't run anything. That's right. Federal agents. Mm-hmm. And federal agents can't keep track of 50% of the people who have expired visas. And the federal government has done immigration reform in 30 years, and that includes President Obama. So who suffers? California, far beyond anybody else. Who actually runs all those things? The federal government. Who has the ability to fix those things? The federal government. Who's done nothing in about 30 years? The federal government. So I don't know exactly what the answer would be, but I could tell you this for sure. We have the ability to do immigration. By the way, 65% of Californians said they want Jerry Brown to ignore the federal government on immigration and do whatever they want. 65%, according to the Public Policy Institute of California. Well, what they don't get is that's secession. CalExit, only 30% of Californians support secession. Ignore the federal government on climate change and immigration, it's 2/3. That's secession. You just didn't use the word. So Californians are clearly saying they want to do their own thing. We would have an immigration system that would work, and we'd have it passed within months. Or we could wait on America, and maybe they'll get to it in another 30 years.
Right. And you, to be clear, you celebrate diversity in California, and most of us do, and recognize that, you know, it wasn't a white U.S. State forever. First was a Native culture, then Spaniards, then Mexicans, and so all of that is seriously, definitely, California is definitely a melting pot that most of us recognize makes us richer, not poorer.
I wrote in my book in 2012 that California should be the center for world negotiation. And deserves to be an independent nation because, according to sociologist Robert Putnam, it was the most diverse place in the planet.
Mm.
We are debatably the most diverse place in the entire world. And unlike a lot of other places like Syria, where you see minorities fighting with each other, we get along. We do have riots. We did. And then we get right back to getting along with each other and making it work. We have the highest amount of interracial marriages, highest amount of interracial children, highest amount of people who are friends. I mean, they showed that picture of the Americans who fought off the terrorist bombing in Paris. And it was two Caucasian people and an African-American person. They go, see, this is a picture of America, all buddies. Those were Californians.
Right. They were
those were Californians.
My area, Sacramento, I think. At least one of them was from Sacramento.
Sacramento has the highest amount of mixed race babies in all of America for the last 5 years. So this is who we are. And it goes back to before the Pilgrims. The Spanish started making a diverse California around 1550, 1620. The Pilgrims didn't get here till a couple decades after that. So
the Pilgrims, I love it.
if heritage is important, then we've been diverse for about 400 years. While America's just started talking about it in the last 20, there was a period where we were majority Caucasian after America gunned down everybody who was the minority and said, you're going to become a state. And then they pumped in racist white people and said, you can vote, but brown people don't. And then that made California a state. through military conquest. They don't teach our children that. So there was a period from roughly 1850 to maybe 1930 where it was majority Caucasian. But if you look at the other 400 years from around 1550 to now, our history and character is being as diverse as it possibly gets. That's who we are. I love these debates on immigration and diversity. Like, should we do this? That's an American thing. Uh-huh. We don't have a choice. This is who we've been for centuries. It's who we are. There is no, I don't know about minorities and immigrants and people with different languages and cultures. This is who we are, folks. It's who we've always been. It's not a coincidence that we did this for centuries, had a period of racist white majorities, and then went right back to being more diverse beyond anything American wrap its head around. Because it's who we are. We're always going to be the most diverse place. And that's, yeah.
No, go, no, okay. So, coincident, I don't know if this is a coincidence, but this subject is really fascinating to me because I went to UCLA and I majored in U.S. history, but my focus was on California history. So, you know, what you're talking about is really, really resonates with me and really is, we have a special history with America here in the United States. And so,
yeah.
We're going to run out of time before we get a chance to talk about all of the reasons why we need to be our own state, but what would happen, Marcus, if California votes to leave America and America says, you're not leaving. What are you talking about? And then lines up the military on the borders or already has military here. California has many American bases that I would love to become a state and kick them off of our soil. What happens after that, Marcus?
So a lot of people have asked that. First, there's not going to be an invasion because, like you said, the bases are already here. Second, Californians are hippies. Third, we're doing it legally. So we're not the kind of people that get your guns. That's not us. America says, hey, you voted for it, you followed the rules, and we're not going to let you have it. Well, America never has called itself a democracy again. And faster than they can try to spin it, guess who owns the internet? And guess who owns the entertainment industry? California, Silicon Valley, and LA. So guess who's going to get the word out that America isn't really a democracy and forces its people to do things against their will? California. And guess who has connections to as many nations as America? California. So guess who's going to get every single American diplomat any time that they travel to any other nation to constantly be bothered with the question of how are you not a democracy, California? So they can go ahead and try. What's going to happen is the entire world's going to know what they did and is going to bug the hell out of them. Every single event, everywhere they go, you're not a democracy. That will be destroyed. America will have to admit that it's a dictatorship. Secondly, as you recall, the Iraq War. Now, there was protests. I remember one in the Bay Area in San Francisco, I believe in October 2003 or 2005. And what they did was they just laid down in the streets of San Francisco. San Francisco is a major financial hub. I believe one of the top 10 in the planet. They didn't hurt anybody. They didn't destroy businesses. All they did was stop traffic. Nobody could get to work in one part of one city in California for a day. George W. Bush had phone calls from multiple prime ministers saying, you wrap this up tomorrow morning. You know why? Because the number one place for investment is California. And that's on our government website, the California Republic, Jerry Brown's website. Foreign direct investment, number one, which means we're the most attractive for everybody to spend money on. When you hurt the California economy or destabilize it, billionaires in China lose billions. And in Russia and Brazil and Africa and Europe and Southeast Asia and the Philippines and everywhere on the planet. And so they told George W. Bush, you get this protest calmed down by tomorrow morning because it's screwing with our stock markets. And if you don't do that, I'm going to get involved. And I'm the prime minister of a major nation. Everybody has their money traded in with each other. If America does anything to destabilize the economy of California, like border troops, it will immediately go into recession itself. It will immediately alienate the economy of the entire planet, including allied nations. It will immediately have them turning on them and saying, you fix this. But let's step it up a notch. That was one city and one day. What if everybody in California doesn't go to work? Everybody just calls in sick for one day. Global shockwave around the planet. Then we'll see who's on whose knees, begging for who to negotiate. Money is power, not guns. The Americans don't realize that.
Well, the Americans sure have a lot of guns and bombs, and I'm not so sure that they'll let us go peacefully. There's evidence to the contrary already in our history, in the U.S. history, that shows that they won't let it go peacefully. So we did talk about how we need to change the California Constitution to make this happen. But what are the legal ramifications with America? Is it just like once California says we're out, or are there legal issues that in the U.S. Constitution that say that individual states can't do this?
Well, I just want to say real quick. In the Civil War, the South was economically disconnected from the North, and they were primarily trading with Europe, so it was okay for the North to blow them up. It wouldn't affect their economy. Those conditions don't exist today, so America would risk global economic collapse if they ever invaded us. But to answer your question, the news has finally admitted that it is legal to secede. We always point to the only Supreme Court case on the federal government. Supreme Court decides what's legal according to the federal government. And they decided in, I believe, 1867 in Texas versus White that you could secede through, quotes, consent of the state. So Texas versus White, only Supreme Court case, says you can secede after the Civil War with consent of the states. Additionally, the news is pointing out that you could do a constitutional amendment where 2/3 of Congress approves it, and you could also leave that way. So there's multiple recognized legal ways that we could do this. We do need to get the American Congress to approve, but I would point out that a poll done last month showed that 30% of Americans said, go ahead and leave California. 30%. Uh-huh. If you look at the way that federalism is set up, it's not based on population. That's why Clinton didn't win. It's based on states.
Right.
States own the Senate. States uh-huh. own the Electoral College. States own the Congress. So 35 to 45 states are red. They hate us. They hate everything about us.
Uh-huh.
There was this group called the Tea Party that shut down the federal government to prove a point, scaring the entire world. So we see Americans vote on emotion and not in their economic best interest.
Right.
We just need America to do what they do. They're going to vote on anger. I hate California. I don't care what money they contribute. Besides, they're told by Fox News that we're a welfare queen who just sucks their resources. So they don't even know the truth.
Right.
And all their leaders have told them that. So, I need to get rid of somebody who's a drain on me and that I hate. Go ahead and go. 30% of America said leave. And a majority of the American states are conservative and have a negative opinion on this. And that's who would make the decision. So I've always said we have votes today. There is no such thing as we vote to secede. The vote for California to leave is really a poll. We are using the law in California to take a pulse of the will. The idea is that what Brexit showed in Catalonia and Scotland and Liechtenstein and New Caledonia and Singapore and other places was you get a majority of the people to say they want out. Well, you got to do it now. Because what are you going to do? Tell the people you don't get what you want? No California politician is going to say a majority of you want to secede, but I'm going to stand against you. So everybody's got to be on board. It really is just a way to psychologically force people to take it seriously and force our elected officials to go to Congress and demand this vote happen. That's all it is. We can't legally just secede. No one's ever said that, yes, California. But we also noticed with Brexit, done for very different reasons, racism was ours for integration.
That's one of the criticisms of CalExit, but people just need to investigate it. We're actually only have about a minute and a half left, Marcus. I really, like I told you on the break, I'm available. Cindy Sheehan Soapbox is available. Whatever I can do to help this initiative, I want to move forward with it. It's been something that I have been wanting to do for a long, long time. I'll try to get my party, Peace and Freedom Party, on board with it. And just one more time, tell our listeners how they can access further information.
Go to Facebook, Yes California, Facebook, Yes California, or yescalifornia.org. And you can see the largest CalExit organization. There are others out there, but we're the only one that's bigger than the Democratic Party and leading the movement.
Marcus Ruiz Evans, thank you so much for being on the People Speak with Cindy Sheehan, talking about this initiative. I wish we had more time, and I hope I can talk to you again soon so we can talk more about the real substantial and what I think are righteous reasons for leaving the United States of America.
Yeah, let's, can we talk after?
We'll call. We'll call after we hang up. So Marcus, again, thank you for being on the People Speak with Cindy Sheehan. And thank you, all you listeners out there, for listening. And we'll be back with the People Speak on next Tuesday. I'm Cindy Sheehan. Peace out for now.
One bright sunny morning in the shadow of the steeple by the relief office, I saw my people, and they stood there hungry, and I stood there wondering if this land was made for you and me. This land is your land, this land is my land, from California to the New York Island, Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters. Yeah, this land is made for you and me.